Welcome to episode number 31 of the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, where Christina and I discuss how to handle failure. We discuss my experience in Florida with food poisoning and how to know if something is a failure or if it's something you can't control. We discuss becoming aware of and changing your positive and negative self-talk and break down how to handle failure with your mindset and learning from your mistakes. As always, if you like the podcast and you want to support it, all we ask is that you share this episode with a friend, family member, or coworker who would benefit from it. One share can go a really long way and supports our mission to help as many people as possible to live a healthier, sustainable lifestyle. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode, number 31, How to Handle Failure. Hi guys, and welcome back to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Christina Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, Marissa Roy. And in today's episode, we're going to discuss how to deal with failure.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for this one because I think at the past couple episodes, I feel like it's just been perfect timing with something that's been going on with me that really relates to whatever topic we're going to be discussing. So right now, present day, and this will be coming out next week, I think, right? Yeah. So this will come out next week. So this is super recently, but I just had my trip to Florida, my vacation that I was talking about in all the previous episodes. And I dealt with some failures. I definitely dealt with some failures regarding my diet as well as training. And it's definitely out of the norm for me. So I guess I will go into that a little bit and just my experiences there before we dive deep into the topic.
Well, I wanted to say before we dove in, so Marissa is on vacation right now visiting some of her family. And if you're watching on the YouTube, she's just like burrowed in this like pillow fort.
Yeah. So I was like, because there's a full house. So we're at my cousin's out in Oregon. They're in Salem and it's beautiful out here. Ooh, and we actually found this like really badass gym in Salem, Oregon. So the cool thing about podcasts is that they're online in perpetuity. So I'm going to shout them out. It's called West Coast Strength and it's literally right down the street from my cousin's house. And it's just like all their equipment is like, what's the brand? It's a really nice brand of machines that they have, and they also have a lot of hammer strength. It's all really clean, really nice, and the people there were super accommodating. We actually bought t-shirts as our day passes, which was awesome. They let us do that.
That's nice.
Yeah, and it's just a great environment. And so I like my favorite part of traveling is always finding these little gyms that you've never heard of before. And this one's actually really, really nice. So we're going to be going there a couple more times. But yeah, I have like a pillow behind me, a pillow under me. My mic is borrowed from my aunt. So like I was joking. I was like, this is probably the best my audio is ever going to sound because everything around me is absorbing all the extra sound. But
My mic is like broken and duct tape, so I'm having to hold it. So I'm just like looking at our setup today. I just feel like it's so out of the ordinary, but we'll make it work.
Yeah. I'm glad that we got to get on and do this though, because I feel like we've been the past couple of weeks, we've like front loaded some episodes and we've like taken weeks off, and it's been nice to like get some breaks. But I am actually very excited to get back into a regular recording schedule with you, like just every week get on and do our thing, because it's been a while since I've had routine and I'm really looking forward to it.
And it's funny though, because even though we do talk like every single day, I still feel like our recording episodes are kind of a way for us to catch up. So I am excited for you to get into your Florida adventures. And believe it or not, guys, like I actually don't know the full details either. So this will be interesting for me to hear.
Oh yeah. Sometimes I'm like, hey, Christina, like I know we want to catch up, but like half the stuff that we're going to catch up on is stuff that relates to this episode. So I'm just going to let you hear it there. And so we've done that for a number of these, especially with like the cut updates, diet updates, that sort of stuff. All right, so Florida. Florida was awesome. It was just really, really nice to get out and be somewhere different. Tampa was the area that we stayed in. The first night, actually, so we drove down in two parts. So we didn't want to pay for airfare, so we just drove and wanted to bring a bunch of stuff too. So we split it up and we stayed in Hilton Head, South Carolina the first night. And then the second night we drove down to, or second day we drove down to Orlando and shopped all day at the outlets. Then late that night came down to Tampa. Now I had reserved an Airbnb from June 3rd through the 9th, and I'm not gonna like say where it was or anything just to keep them confidential. But we got there, it was super cute. The first Airbnb was super cute too. But we saw some bugs like flying by the lamp. And we got in at like 11:30 p.m. and Aaron was kind of spooked by like all the bugs, and he was like, I don't like this. Like, are they gnats or whatever? So I messaged the Airbnb owner because she was right next door, and I said, hey, do you have like a vacuum? Like, I just want to get these bugs. Like, I'm just gonna like suck them up or something. and she comes in and she was like, oh no, these are termites. And so we like had this, we had this whole thing, and she was like, I've never seen this before. Like, it's termite season. And like, we've had the like exterminators, like get the house like perimeter and da 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 da. And so she was freaking out and felt awful. And she was like, I'll just give you a refund if you want to stay somewhere else. And so we actually booked a just like a Marriott that night at like 12:30 in the middle of the night. And, just like hauled on over there, and we actually ended up staying at a hotel, which ended up being really nice. Like, there's a certain comfort to hotels that I really enjoy. Well, we had like a king suite, so we had a kitchen, we had like, you know, so Christina made a face, she was like, meh.
I don't like hotels. I don't like hotels. I'm a huge germaphobe, so I just prefer staying in my own place.
I just grew up, I think, staying in a lot of hotels for all the trips that we did, so yeah. I think there's a certain comfort for me in that, like knowing that it's like a secure building and like it's not just someone's house, I guess. But anyways, so we stayed, we did a lot of things, had a couple days at Clearwater Beach, had a couple days at Sand Key Beach, went to downtown Tampa, went to Ybor, ate a lot of really good food. And some of the failures that I alluded to at the beginning were kind of like diet related failures in terms of just me overeating and not intending to overeat, I guess, as much as I did. Like, I checked in with my coach on Wednesday, which was the first day we started the trip, and I said, what would you think about maybe holding my macros steady this week and just having me have like one or two cheat meals? And that's all I was anticipating. I was like, I like typically don't crave a ton of like gluttonous stuff, right? Like, I'm not like trying to overindulge all the time, but I knew I wanted to enjoy a couple of things that I had my eye on down in Tampa. And then it ended up being, I think, three or four meals that were more so cheats than not. And I kind of just felt guilty about exceeding my expectations in that manner. So that to me was a failure, because I do hold myself to a pretty high standard when it comes to my diet, but I just tried my best to like maintain perspective that it is a vacation. It is something that I want to really enjoy. And I was enjoying the food, and it was like a really good time. And I would have regretted not trying a lot of the stuff that I did. There was actually this Laotian place in Orlando called Sticky Rice, and it is some of the best food I have ever had, like ever. It's like a tapas style, like bunch of little small plates. Really, really good. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like some of the best stuff I've ever had. So if you ever get the chance to go to Orlando, Laotian, Sticky Rice, in like the Vietnam district or Vietnamese district down there. It's great. But the real failure came the day we were going to leave. So the next Wednesday, June 9th, we were going to basically haul ass for 13 hours up back home and just do it all in one drive. And Tuesday night, we went out to a diner really late because nothing else was open. I ordered, I think, like a mahi platter, like of like mahi and rice and vegetables, and it came with either a super salad. So I ordered a cream of mushroom soup. They said it was homemade, and so I was like, oh, that sounds good. Like, I love like clam chowder, cream of mushroom, like that sort of texture. It just, I ate it as I was eating, it just felt really heavy, but I was like, you know what? I like it. I'm going to keep eating it. That ended up being my downfall. So I definitely, like, in hindsight, you know how you have that, like, your gut tells you what made you sick. It was definitely that. So we got back from the dinner. I felt okay, just bloated, and went to bed. And then I just woke up in the middle of the night and just started hacking it all out. Sorry for the visual, y'all, but I spent all of Tuesday night with, like, chills and, like, waking up to puke, and then Wednesday I basically slept, like, 20 out of 24 of the hours of the day, Aaron said. Like, I could barely remember being awake, but, like, I would just wake up, kind of, like, have to either go to the bathroom or puke, and then I would, like, sip water and, like, try to eat something and then fall asleep and then just do it all over again. So that was my whole Wednesday. So we were going to drive the whole way. Then we were like, oh, let's just drive halfway. And then we were like, let's just stay another night.
Yeah, that would be miserable having to drive with all of that going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so we made that executive call and decided to drive back on Thursday. I was able to feel pretty much mostly better by Thursday morning in terms of, like, sickness. I was able to hold things down from Thursday onward, thank goodness. So I literally did not eat on Wednesday. I just, you know, excreted. And basically, Thursday, I just, like, every time I would try to eat, I would get really, like, sluggish and tired, and my stomach would hurt, like, even with just, like, bread or saltines. And I was, like, scared to drink Gatorade because, like, I kept puking it up the day before. And so I was, like, we drove back, but I wasn't drinking water, I wasn't eating, and, like, I had totaled maybe 800 calories that day. And so I think that's a big part of why this thing lasted so long, was because, like, I didn't replenish very quickly. Like, if I had gone to the hospital and had an IV, I probably would have been better right away, but, like, I just let my dehydration kind of be prolonged. Friday, we were home. I thought I was better Friday morning, and I made breakfast, and actually we were supposed to record on Friday, right?
We were.
Yeah. So I made breakfast, and I was like, you know, I woke up feeling pretty good. I was like, I'm going to make a hearty breakfast. I'm going to start to get my calories back in. I got this. Made a big bowl of oats, peanut butter, like, something normal to me. And I was like, no dairy though, because I didn't want to touch that after that soup. And I ate it, got about halfway through, could not stomach it anymore, and laid down and took a nap for like 3 hours. Because everything just hurt, and it was super weird. And, like, that whole day, that was, like, the trend. I would eat, feel kind of sick, lay down, an hour later I'd be good to go, and then I would repeat the process. But I was holding everything down. Saturday was okay, but then I felt really good by the end of the day, and we made homemade burgers, and I was able to actually hit my macro targets Saturday for the first time. And Aaron made us burgers, and I had a slice of cheese on mine, and I think that just bloated me like crazy. So I went to bed feeling kind of gross after that, and then Sunday was the first day I had pretty much no issues, and that was the day that I woke up at 4:30 to fly out to Oregon. So it was kind of perfect timing, and luckily I have some semblance of a routine here out in Oregon with my family, because they have, a lot of them are working too, and the boys have work and stuff to do, so I've kind of been working in the mornings. We'll go to the gym in the afternoon, and then we'll do some family stuff in the evening. So it's nothing too crazy, which is kind of refreshing after a week of, like, basically failure after failure. Because, I mean, to wrap this whole thing up, like, to me, like, I haven't taken more than 2 or 3 days off from the gym in, like, years. Like, I just don't do that. Like, I love training. And having taken I took Tuesday as a rest day because I was intending to, like, get an early morning workout in on Wednesday. So I took Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off consecutively. I have not done that since I started bodybuilding, and, you know, didn't eat, right? Didn't drink water, like, pretty much all of my normal staple things that I do, I didn't do. And so to me, that's definitely a failure, but it's something I couldn't control. We tried to train on Saturday, did like a light full body workout. It felt pretty awful because I was still like getting my strength back. And this whole week we've been training pretty hard, but I've been still getting my strength back. And so yesterday we went pretty hard on leg day, but I could still feel like I'm not 100% there yet. So that's kind of been hard to deal with. And I think a lot of people can relate with that, like coming back to training after like a layoff or something. Like coming back to training is so hard. Like it's really hard to stop, then restart, then stop, then restart. And it's really discouraging because you have that feeling of like, I've been here before with my strength, like, and I've surpassed this before. Why can't I do this now? It's super discouraging. But I mean, for me, dealing with this failure, and this will bring us into the conversation now 15 minutes in. But, you know, I think it's relevant because for me, at least, this was an uncontrollable failure. And I could not control the fact that, you know, that soup got me sick. Maybe, you know, I could have controlled the fact that I ordered it, but you know what? It's what I wanted in the moment, right? Like, you can't.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like you can't be like, I mean, in hindsight, obviously, yeah, but you can't be like, oh, I should have known better.
Oh, no.
Have done that.
Absolutely, like, not. Like, it's not something that I would have known, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, so that's kind of how the end of my vacation went, which definitely everyone was like, all my clients, once I started working again, they were like, wow, I'm so sorry your vacation ended that way. And I was like, you know what? It was a learning experience. I think I needed it in some ways, because I have been kind of riding on, you know, a good streak for a good bit now. And I think, you know, without failures, we don't grow, we don't learn. And so this did teach me a lot. And so I think that kind of gets us into some of the themes of today.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I would classify more as a quote unquote failure is maybe you're eating out overindulging, but food poisoning, like that's something that is completely out of your control. And it's, while it was quite an ordeal to like fixate on it and label it a failure, I think is not giving yourself grace, as we like to call it. And it's like, you know, you got sick and you just tried to do the best that you could do. And like, maybe you could have been a little bit better at hydrating, but I mean, it's hard. Like, you're just trying to fixate on like trying to recover and like feel normal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think one of my clients actually messaged me when I finally posted, like, from back from the dead, like, what had happened. And she messaged me in my DMs. She was like, I would be super curious to know, like, what your tips are to, like, stay on track while you dealt with this. And I was like, honey, I didn't eat. I didn't drink. Like, no, like, there's no tip. Like, you have to just, like, put like what you can do first, and like it's just health first. Like, don't worry about your macros, don't worry about your steps. Like, that's right. The other thing too, like, normally I'm pretty active. I get 7,000 or more steps per day, and I was like a vegetable. Like, I literally laid in bed one day, the next day we were in the car all day. Friday, like I said, I was taking naps like every other meal, so I wasn't moving. And like, that's okay. Yeah. Like you said, it's not necessarily a failure, but I think what I want to get across is that it felt like a failure, mm-hmm. because it's just very unlike me to like skip workouts and like not eat and all that stuff. So more so felt like a failure. But when making that distinction is very important, like you said, knowing when it's not in your control versus something that you probably could have controlled. Like, for example, me overindulging in Florida if I didn't want to, right?
And I think that's just maybe the counselor in me, like just being very cautious of like how you word things. Just because if you, like, I don't know, just say one thing is a failure and then something else that you literally have absolutely no control over, like you can't, that's not a failure.
yeah, for sure.
I was going to say, I think one of the things too, it's good as coaches to have these lapses in going to the gym or hitting our macros, because I think it makes us a little bit more relatable to our clients. And it's like, hey, we're not machines. Like, we're humans too. We make mistakes. Like, we go through the same experience as you. We fail. We have things, we have life that happens and comes up in situations. And so I think it allows us to be able to better help and relate to our clients.
Oh, for sure. I actually had a client who experienced basically the exact same thing. Like, she sent me a video and she talked about it and she was like, yeah, I had food poisoning and like then it lingered and like all I couldn't eat, like felt sick, da da da. And I was like, wow, we literally had the exact same experience. And I was like, well, if that doesn't make me relatable, I don't know what will.
Yeah. And I think too, something to think about, and I like to kind of set this expectation with my clients and let them know, like, you are going to fail. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, it sounds really bad, but to let them know, like, something is going to happen. Like, you're either not going to hit your macros, you're not going to log something appropriately or correctly, and you're going to get frustrated, you're going to want to. And I think what happens is a lot of people just want to give up. They just say, well, I failed, so therefore I'm a failure, and like I'm just going to go back to doing what I was doing before. And so I think if you set that expectation, like, hey, something's going to happen, but we need to take it and move on from it, and just kind of be like, well, that sucked. Like, okay, well, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to learn from it, and then we're going to try it again tomorrow or, you know, next meal.
Yeah. And I think you touched on something really important there. I mean, I do the exact same thing. Week one, and it's like you get that energy from a client at the very beginning. They're like, I'm all in. I want to do this 100%. I'm going to be perfect. And it's like, I love that energy. But at the same time, I'm telling them right up front, like, listen, this is not about you being perfect. This is about you learning from mistakes. And like, it's not like I'm sitting here like, yeah, I want you to fail. Like, obviously not. Like, I want you to do the best you can. But we're humans. We make mistakes. Life happens. And we have to know, you know, first of all, when to make that distinction of like, is it us or is it the circumstance really, you know, it was not controllable. But also just making sure that we know this is a journey. This is a lifelong journey about really like just making it through every single circumstance. And so one thing I actually was, and this was like kind of a sales call almost, I was on with a potential client, and he was between just doing a one-off consultation and a three-month coaching experience. And I was like, look, I think you'd be fine with either, but you know what this whole thing is about is, you know, you learn how to navigate a bunch of different scenarios, and you don't really get that with just like a set of numbers. You get that with, you know, going through week by week and understanding that every week is different. You know, if you have a party on Saturday night one week and you're staying in the next week, those are two totally different scenarios, and you're going to have to deal with the mistakes of both in different ways, right? And so we're always going to be, you know, adapting and dealing with different situations. So just because something is different, or just because you didn't handle something exactly the way that you wanted to, doesn't make it a failure.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, and I feel like we could kind of equate this to life as well. It's almost better to face failure and face adversity, because when it happens again, because it will, because life happens, you're better equipped for it in the future. And so I think that that's super, super important. And we do talk a lot about growth mindset and how important it is, and to learn from failures and not say, well, therefore I am a failure. It's like, well, this happened, I can take it and learn from it and just be better and stronger and more equipped in the future.
Yes. And you said it again, and I almost started on this tangent. Well, not tangent. It's very, very related. But then I got off the topic. But, you know, when you say, you know, when you fail, and then, or, you know, maybe you fail, maybe you don't, but you make a mistake and you say, now I am a failure. And now that's a slippery slope. And I actually made a post about this yesterday about how we talk about ourselves and these beliefs that we have. And a lot of times we can sabotage ourselves when we make a mistake by reinforcing negative beliefs about ourselves. So saying things like, I am a failure, or saying things like, oh, I suck at that. I've had clients, you know, send me their videos, and I'm super nitpicky with my clients, because that stuff matters. The way that we talk about ourselves matters. And so they'll be you know, playing their video out of how their week went, and they say, yada, 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 yeah, I need to be better about hydration, I suck at it, da 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 da, or I need to be better about making sure I don't go over my carbs, I suck at that, or I just love carbs too much. These identifying statements, you know, I am, and, you know, I'm, and then the other one is like speaking about how they want to go about their next week, right? They say, well, I hope this week is better, or I want to do this. And it's like the way that we speak about ourselves and our actions is how things play out. And so we actually have a lot of control over how we handle these mistakes, how we handle failures, and then how we move forward from them. A lot of it just comes down to, and not only comes down to, of course, everything is, you know, very multifaceted, but how we think about ourselves and what we reinforce to ourselves is so, so, so important. So if we say, I am a failure, I suck, I am bad at this, what do you think's going to happen? What do you think you're going to do in concordance with that statement? You know, you're going to act out the way that you believe that you are. And so a lot of times clients are sabotaging themselves because they say, I want to do this, I hope that this will happen, but I believe that I am this. And then, you know, what happens when it's time to go to the gym or meal prep? Well, I'm too lazy for that, so I'm not going to, you know, and then we have to flip that script.
Right. Instead of saying like, well, I'm too lazy, you could say, I am going to make time to do this week. Like, so it seems kind of, I always used it, like, I don't know, I'm a very like no frills person. Like it's so funny like that I'm a counselor, because I remember going through grad school and we would do these like icebreakers, and I get it. It's because we were doing a lot of stuff geared towards like elementary school students, but I hate that stuff. Just hate it. And like, I'm just sitting there like, I just don't want to do this. And so I'm very like, I don't know. So there are things that are very like, very foo-foo. I don't know the right kind of word that I'm looking for, the right way to phrase it. But it is sometimes like you think like, oh, like it matters what you say and how you say it, how you phrase things, how you talk to yourself. Like self-talk is important. And it's kind of like, yeah, yeah, like whatever. But it is so important. It's one of those things where it's like, you, it's like the self-help, like, you know, you should do it, but you maybe don't really try. But so one of the things I do, and it's just a small thing, but I used to say in my emails to my clients, like, hope you have a great week. Like, that's kind of how I would end my check-ins. And now I always say, make it a great week. And it's just like a small little tweak, but it's like, you have control. Like, you can control how you perceive situations. And so you might have one situation where it's like the exact same situation, but one client is like, oh my God, that was the worst thing in the world. I'm a failure. I can't believe this happened. And then you have one client who was like, yeah, this happened, but I learned XYZ. Like I now have a better response for when this happens in the future. So I think it's just so interesting how you have the exact same situation, but you can have people perceive it in completely different ways.
Yeah, definitely. And so are you accidentally like logged into my email and like seeing what I'm doing? Because I do the same thing.
I mean, of course. Yeah, of course we do.
Of course. But the very intentional about make it a good week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always say that too. So, I mean, and then, you know, when we're able to catch ourselves saying these things, you know, it's not easy, right? And it's not just like, okay, let's flip the script and let's like all of our self-talk is immediately positive. No, like that's right. That's not how it works. And I don't,
it takes a lot of conscious effort.
Yeah. And I don't know the statistics exactly, but I know that a very large percentage of our internal dialogue is negative. And I think it's even higher, a higher percentage in women. I could not pull numbers out of my ass if I even wanted to, but like it's just very, very prevalent that women especially, but people in general nowadays really tend to just hammer themselves down with negative self-talk and self-limiting beliefs. And so it, you know, it is really important that we focus on it, just because it is so prevalent. So if you really listen to your own thoughts, it's like probably 90% of them are going to be negative or talking down on yourself or limiting yourself in some way. How much of that dialogue is you bringing yourself up, telling yourself that you can do it? I would be willing to bet little to none. And, you know, what do you think that's going to do to your confidence, right? And so, I mean, a part of it is you have to act on your goals before you can build that confidence with yourself. You know, a lot of times it's like, I saw a post the other day about someone talking about, you know, you can't wait for motivation to come. You have to act first, and then motivation kind of builds from the momentum that your actions bring. But at the same time, you kind of have to do both hand in hand. You have to tell yourself you're able to do it, and you have to act first before you actually believe in that for all of those things to work together. And so that's really hard to do if you don't have that confidence built up. And a lot of the people listening to this don't, because that's why they're listening to this in the first place.
And I think it comes from, and I think it's so funny, we have this huge outline and we're just like not even.
Yeah, we're not even touching
like
it.
Like adhering to it. but I think it's good because I feel like we're speaking mostly from the heart maybe, and just whatever is just rolling with it. But I think what happens is we come from this society where we need to be realistic and we need to be safe and we can't be narcissistic and we can't have this like huge amount of like confidence. And I feel like you're like, well, I just need to be grounded type thing. And I think the other thing too, it's like who you surround yourself with and like what you think you're capable of achieving. And you're like, well, I've never been able to do this. So like it's, or it's something that only other people will be able to have. Like that's not something that I can do. And so one of the, it's kind of, I think her books have gotten very popular over the last couple of years, but is it Jen Sincero? I don't know how to say her last name.
Something like that.
But she has like the You Are a Badass kind of series. And she has a bunch of different ones. Like you're a badass, like you're a badass at making money. I think she has another one out. I can picture the cover, but I can't remember what it says, but I don't remember. But she talks a lot about the books. It's like she used to have these self-limiting beliefs that she just thought that she was stuck in her ways because, like, I don't know, that she could never be one of those people. So it wasn't until she started being very intentional about how she spoke to herself, how she spoke to other people, and also doing like daily gratitudes, coming from a place of having more of an abundant mindset than a scarcity mindset. And I think that there are just so many different takeaways and how you can apply it to so many different, again, areas of life. And so when it comes to health and fitness, it's like you have to know that you are capable of achieving it, and it may take you a while to get there. And again, you are probably going to fail along the way. But like we always talk about in every, I feel like in almost every single episode, it's like you only fail if you quit. Like that's the only way. So if you keep going, and one of the things we talk about is like failing in your diet. Okay, so maybe you failed, quote unquote, failed 6 out of 7 days out of that week, but it's like, okay, but maybe that one day, like you didn't. So like what happened on that day? Let's focus on that. How can we make that 2 days? Like you don't have to be perfect. And you know, I have a couple clients right now who are struggling getting to the gym. And like you were talking about before, it's really hard when you fall out of that routine and it becomes more of that like, oh, well now I just don't go. And so it's harder to get back on the horse, so to speak, and like to get back going into the gym. But it's like, okay, maybe you were going 5 times a week, but that's not your normal anymore. So let's get you going 1 time. Let's go get you going back 2 times. So you don't have to be perfect if you fall off. It's just kind of like building that momentum up again.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think I wanted to break down a little bit, you know, when you do fail and kind of just with diet, with training, I guess, centering around those two things, how do we actually combat that in a real-time scenario with our clients? Because I really don't think I have anything to add to that little part that you just said. It was great. No, not even a tangent. So when you fail with your diet, a lot of times this comes in the form of the all or nothing mindset, right? So we are on track, or maybe we are starting off our day, then something happens or plans change, or we just forget that we, you know, had this goal, or maybe we think that we're on track, then we plug it in later and it's, you know, it's not what we expected. And so now we're off track and we decide, okay, well, you know, this is where that self-talk comes in. Oh, I am a failure. I failed. What's the point? Right. You know, if I'm not going to be able to do this, you know, something happens with confidence there because we've messed up. And I think this is where it's very important that we have this whole episode prefacing like, well, that's the point, right? If you don't mess up, then you don't learn anything. And with a number of clients, I've kind of told them too, there's a big distinction between, you know, it really not being the right time to do this and it just being, you know, a time of maybe some more spontaneity than we expected, and maybe more things to grapple with and to, I guess, adapt to than we expected. And those are two different times. So maybe we have a bunch of things thrown at you a couple of weeks in a row, a couple of months in a row, but ultimately, you know, it's how we gear our mind around approaching those things that allows us to either, you know, use that mistake as a learning experience. So maybe, you know, I don't know, you go over your fat macros. That's super easy to do when you eat out. And so maybe you, instead of being like, I am a failure, I went over my fat, I might as well just eat everything and anything. What we want to look at that as is, okay, is there any way that I can remedy this in the moment? And one of the ways that I have clients do that as if it's an oops moment, you know, if it's after the fact, you can't control the fact that you went over your fat or your carbs or whatever, then sometimes I'll say, okay, then let's just try to match for total calories, right? So if you went over on fat by, I don't know, 10 grams, how many calories is that? That's 10 times 9, because fat is 9 calories per gram. So that's 90 calories. And then you just divide that by 4. I don't know, it's something like 20 something, a little over 20. And you can take away 20 grams of carbs. So essentially 2 for 1. If you go over on 10 fat, you could take away 20 grams of carbs and you could finish off your day that way and basically match your total calories. Now, I don't tell clients to do this preemptively. I don't want them like just changing their macros every day. But in that off scenario, you know, that's a learning experience. It's like, okay, well, maybe I can do something, you know, slight to make up for this in the moment, or just, you know, make sure that I'm staying on track and looking at it from how can I be productive with this situation. But okay, maybe, you know, maybe you went over on everything, you know, maybe you went over on calories, your macros, everything. And, you know, in that situation, it's really hard not to spiral because, you know, there's really nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do except not make it worse. Right. And so you look like you're about to say something.
I had a client anecdote. So I have a client who, she struggled a little bit with going out to dinner. And so that was one of the things that we had been working on every single week. And she told me, she was like, hey, like if you see on this day, like I went over my macros, we went out to dinner and I ate like something that didn't quite fit my macros. And she was like, but I left the dinner and I felt satisfied. I felt in the moment. I had a glass of wine. Like I was able to enjoy this date night with my husband. And she's like, I knew that I had gone over my macros, but I didn't eat to the point where I felt sick and then order dessert because I knew that this was the only time I was going to have this opportunity to quote unquote, like go off my diet, and then gone home and been super guilty and been disappointed in myself. So she was like, so I went over my macros. She's like, but I feel so good about this outing. So to me, it's like, yeah, did she quote unquote fail and go over her macros? Yes. But if you look at the bigger picture, that was a huge win.
Yes.
Huge win for her. So I think it, there's something floating around on social media right now. It's like for some person, like success is going out to dinner and not ordering, you know, a pizza or not ordering a burger and fries. And then for someone else, their success is going out to dinner and ordering burger and fries. So it's like, it's very contextual and like, what are your specific goals? What are you working on? And like, and then thinking about, okay, maybe you failed, but you were able to be successful in this. And so her momentum for next week was, I'm going to go out to dinner again, but I want to pre-plan this time. So I'm going to order something that is going to fit my macros. I'm going to fit in a glass of wine. And then again, I can feel even better knowing that my choices are going to keep me on track. And so I can focus 100% of my time on the date. So I think it's really cool she used that momentum. But if we were to focus specifically on numbers, then she would have been like, oh, I'm a failure.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And it's like, what, how might she have handled that situation 3 months ago? You know, obviously, mm-hmm. I don't know who this client is, but like most of mine in that situation, you know, if they hadn't been working on that exact same thing, it's like you go out to dinner, you eat, you know, you're kind of over, and then you, maybe you order dessert because you feel like a failure, and then you get home and then you raid the pantry because you, you know, you might as well just get it all out of your system before next time, right? And so it's like that might be how you handled it the first time, but look at how much of an improvement this is. So like, was it a failure or was it really just progress?
Right. And I think it's one of those things too. It's like, you know, so, okay, you go out to dinner, you go over your macros. And so the idea is like you have a flat tire. So when it comes time for dessert and going home, like, are you going to puncture the rest of like the other three just because, or like, are you just going to patch it and then move on?
Yep.
So it's like, we do that self-sabotage where it's like, well, I've already failed, so now I'm going to eat an additional 2000 calories, where it's like, if you're able to be in the moment and just be like, okay, well, yeah, I might have done something that was a little bit off, but it stops here and I'm going to go home and like kind of go on with my night.
Yep. Yep. I personally, I've gotten a lot better at that. Like we do weekly date nights every week. And I mean, I kind of do the same thing. Like I'm not perfect when I go out to eat. We love sharing appetizers and that's, you know, really hard because appetizers are usually fried or you're dipping them in some fatty sauce or whatever. And so like, I'll go a few grams over, maybe even more than that, handful over my carbs, fats. And, you know, I'm just like, I'm just going to leave it where it is. Like, and I used to be in the mindset of like, well, better get it out of my system, you know, better have more, better have ice cream, cookies, whatever. But, you know, it's just like, we do this every week. So like, to me, it's just do the best that I can. And the rest of the week is really consistent. So like, you know, a little bit off here and there is not going to be the end of the world. And then to bring in a little bit of perspective of like, well, what does this do to our progress, right? Like if we're looking at failure, we're looking at making mistakes, it's like, okay, so we're not being perfect with our diet. How does this affect our progress? Because obviously that matters to us. And ultimately our body doesn't know if we are 5 grams over our fat. Our body doesn't know, you know, your fat goal is 50 grams. If you hit 51, your body's like, oh, everything's going to fat now. Like, obviously, obviously not. Like, that is not how the human body works. Like, it knows that it is getting a fuel source. It's digesting whatever comes in. And it's using energy as needed. And so essentially, it's like, you know, you're probably going to have a little more energy the next day if you overindulged, right? And so use it, you know, have a great workout or, you know, go on a walk or like, you know, so you'll have that energy naturally. It's not like your body is like immediately storing everything as fat. And so kind of looking at it that way, it's really all on a spectrum. And we can't like, as much as we like to put numbers on things and quantify things and have things be nice, neat equations, it's not quite how things work. And we can absolutely still make progress with this mindset of like, let's just improve on how we handle these situations one at a time, rather than it's all or nothing with the numbers. And we talked about this in 29, when it's like, we can take macro tracking and make it too rigid. Right. Like we can.
Right. Too extreme.
Yeah. We can look at macro tracking and we can look at it with too much rigidity. And it's like we can look at it as only numbers, and food is not only numbers. Food is social. Food is emotional. And we have to know those things and incorporate all of that. And so when we look at, okay, well, how did I handle that situation? It's like, this is about more than the macros themselves. It's about the fact that our habits are changing, you know, our habit of going out to eat, ordering, eating until we're satisfied, and not sabotaging ourselves after, that is a habit that if we take away the macros, that's going to help us with our, with just seeing progress continually over time, whether or not we're tracking anything. And that's right. what we want.
And again, Marissa and I, again, because we do everything the same.
Like,
we,
literally.
We utilize flexible dieting. And it is something that we feel like is so helpful for clients because, and I give the analogy, it's like, okay, like a lot of people have sweet tooth. I am 100% there. I big, big sweet tooth person. I have a very funny story to tell you about my mom, if we have time. But when it comes to like ice cream, you know, it's like instead of me as a coach saying absolutely no ice cream, it is off limits to you. And then the client's like, oh, okay, like no ice cream. And so they're like Monday, okay, no ice cream. Tuesday, okay, no ice cream. I got this. And like Wednesday, ooh, I kind of want some ice cream. And then like Thursday, oh, I really, really want it. And then on Friday, you're like, fuck it. I'm going to the store. I'm getting ice cream. And you haven't had it. So you eat like an entire like half gallon. And you're like, wow, that was awful. And so, like, you kind of can go into this cycle of, like, restricting and then going a little bit too far. I don't want to say binging, but just overindulging. But if you were to just have, like, a little serving of ice cream every single night to satisfy that sweet tooth or to satisfy that craving and you're not going overboard, you're practicing moderation instead of depriving yourself, that is way better. And so I kind of feel it's the same thing with going out to eat, where it's like, if you know that, like, oh, I like to go out to eat and it's always there, food's always there, and I get to do this and have a nice outing, and then we get to do it again the next week, but I can stay in control, I think that's a little bit better. Because if you have too much strictness, if you have too much rules, too much rigidity in your approach, then it's not something that's sustainable and you're very easy to kind of mess up. And so we do talk a lot about that all or nothing mentality, that it's not like, well, I'm either going out to eat and having a salad or I'm going to eat everything on the menu. Like, yeah, you have to, and I feel like we always go back to that, you know, hashtag balance, but it's finding the approach that works best for you.
I mean, there's so much gray space in there. And I think to bring it to another extreme is like, it's very easy to get like very dialed in with macros. Like if you have that kind of mindset and you have the, you know, the numbers brain, and you like data, it's really easy to get dialed in. And I had a conversation with one of my clients recently, and he's like, he's been dieting for a while. We've kind of hit a good stride. We're seeing some good momentum, some good losses. And he's got, you know, things, restrictions are lifting. So him and his fiance, you know, want to do some social stuff, right? And it's like, he wants to do those things, but he was like, you know what, I'll just bring my food, or I don't want to eat out. So like, I'll just stay home. I'll let her go. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, nope, you are going.
Go on that date.
It's like, I was like, I need you to do this. I need you to practice this. And I wasn't just like, yes, you have to do date night. And that was it. Like, obviously not end of conversation. I was just like, listen, if we don't practice this now, then this whole diet is for nothing. Because if you cannot make things work and sustain this lifestyle throughout that, it's going to be really, really, really hard when we switch gears and start reverse dieting you. And it's going to be even harder when you're in maintenance because you never practiced moderation when you were dieting. And arguably, it gets easier if you've practiced when you're dieting and then you reverse diet, you have more food to work with, and maintenance, you have even more food to work with. So it's like, we really have to practice this now. And I was like, listen, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. You can go out for like Chipotle, like just practice and start like incorporating more variety in the types of places that you're going to as you get more comfortable with it. And it's like, it doesn't have to be every week either, but like, you need to start doing this. So he started doing weekly date nights with his fiance, because they had kind of like skipped out on it or just did them at home for a while. And you know, once he said like once per month, he's comfortable with doing like a bigger social outing with more friends. And I was like, you know what, that sounds great. Like, you have a good frequency going on, you're practicing it every week, and you're going to put yourself in situations that are uncomfortable, but teach these lessons that are so, so important.
Yeah. And I think for anyone who hasn't worked with us or is just listening and has like, is maybe thinking about hiring a coach or is wondering what it would be like. I think it's kind of maybe interesting where you would expect maybe a coach to be like, yeah, bring your food because I want you to hit your macro spot on. But yeah, for us, it's no. And so it made me think of another client who, of course, you know, it's the summer. And so there are a lot of social events, especially now that the pandemic is on the flippity flop. I don't know. It was on the end. I don't know.
On the tail end of it, hopefully.
Yeah, tail end. Yeah. But, you know, so there are summer barbecues, and she messaged me for a check-in, and she was like, hey, like, what do you recommend for me to do to stay on track? Like, should I just bring my own food? She's like, I don't want to be that, like, weirdo. And I was like, you know what? We're not in a quote-unquote dieting phase right now. Like, you're not in contest prep. Like, you don't need to bring a baggie of chicken and rice and broccoli and, you know, not feel like you can't enjoy time with your family. I said, but at the other end of the scale, like, if or other end of the
spectrum.
Whatever. Spectrum, yeah. You are sitting there and it's like, okay, there's chips and cheese and salami and hot dogs and like there's literally no vegetables. Like there's no lean meats. I was like, it's hard to stay on track when you don't have you don't really even have a good option to stay on track. I was like, maybe instead of bringing your own food, you bring a dish that you know that everyone can enjoy, and you know something like you can incorporate healthier items maybe for your family. Like maybe you bring a salad, maybe you bring like a chicken salad or, you know, something along those lines. I was like, so again, you're not like declining to eat and you can still have a little bit of those things, but you also are, you're bringing an option that everyone else can enjoy. So it's like, instead of just like removing that situation to begin with, not going or just bringing your own food, just kind of like doing like a little bit of a mix and still making it work.
Yeah, I always love saying, and I think this topic, like social events, alcohol, isn't that like our next one too, our next episode?
It can be.
It's on the docket. It's on the list, so it's coming soon. But I always say, like, you know, if it's a grill out, especially, like, bring chicken breasts for everyone to eat, like just grill it with everything else, with the burgers, with, you know, whatever. And chicken breast tastes amazing on the grill. Like if you don't like it when you cook it at home, I promise you, you're going to like it on the grill.
Ooh, veggies on the grill.
Good. Yeah. We actually, and so my cousin's family, my aunt, like they're all very health conscious. Like this trip has been like weirdly easy to like hit my macros and stay on track. Like we eat from home a lot, but the first night we actually Aaron and I decided to grill out for everyone, and we were just like, you know what, you know, we're staying at their house, you know, they're offering that to us, and you know, they just had a hard Monday at work, everyone was super busy, so you know, like let's go to the grocery store, let's get like some sirloins, some chicken breasts, some flank, and for reference, those are all really lean steaks, and got a bunch of veggies and potatoes, and we just did a grill out for everyone, and they loved it. Like, they ate it up. There were, like, no leftovers. We did chicken kebabs with veggies, and we did, like, steak, and I'm, like, getting hungry thinking about it, because, like, it was so good, but it's also, like, we made that a social thing for everyone to enjoy together, and it's, like, so you can definitely make those things work, and I don't know how we got to this topic.
I don't know. So, I mean, if we go back to the outline, the next kind of topic we had was like how to view failure. But I think again, when it comes to eating over your macros or going off your diet, again, everything is a learning experience. You're in a situation, and what can you take? What can you improve on next time? Because yeah, you messed up, but just not dwelling on it, because I think that can be hard. And then if you continue to use that to label yourself, well, I can't hit my macros when I go out to eat, it's like, well, no, we just need to change the script a little bit. And then, like, again, what can we adjust better for next time? And
yeah,
I mean, I don't think there's really anything else to add for diet.
Yeah, no, but like kind of on the topic of both, it's like when you label yourself, kind of going back to that self-talk, I wanted to give some concrete examples of like how we implement positive self-talk, I think would be good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've given examples of I suck at this, I'm bad at that, etc. Yeah, we don't want to do that, obviously. So the first step, and this is kind of the dialogue I always go through with my clients, is the first step is catching yourself in the act And like, even that can be hard because it's like, these are just thoughts that like fly by and we just think them and then we don't think anything of it. Right. And so the first step is catching yourself. And like that in and of itself takes some mindfulness. It takes pausing. It takes like realizing what you're saying to yourself or what you say out loud to others. And then, okay, well, how do we flip the script? I am and I will statements. So I'll actually like make my clients journal. Like I'll tell them like, I want you to answer these questions and I want you to write it out and I want you to like show me that you've done it. And so like I am statements, like I am strong. I am someone who goes to the gym 4 times per week. I am someone who overcomes hardship. I am someone who doesn't let one small setback, you know, put me down. I am someone who, et cetera. And then I will is, you know, talking about our actions. So I will make the gym the priority this week. I will meal prep for 2 hours. I will make sure I go to the grocery store, etc. I will put myself first in my goals. And that can be really powerful. And so I encourage that. Sometimes I force it because it's like, yeah, ooh, that sounds great. Journaling. Yeah, I want to do that. And then, you know, week goes by. Oh, forgot to do that this past week. So I literally will push for that with my clients.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So I guess a little bit about failure in going to the gym, because we covered diet, like you said. I think the main thing is like, okay, well, skipping workouts or, you know, what is failing in training? I don't think going to failure in your lifts is failing at all. I think that's pushing yourself very, very hard. But, you know, failing in terms of missing workouts, skipping workouts, not making it to the gym, maybe doing half of your workout and leaving for whatever reason. I don't know. Most people don't do that. If you get as far as getting to the gym, you're pretty much good. But so it's mainly the problem of like, are you going or are you not going? And like we said, it's really hard to get back into that groove when you've fallen out of it. And it's just like that does require like the most white knuckling, in my opinion, is like the first couple days back where like nothing feels great. Everything feels really hard. You're getting more sore than normal because you took time off. And it's just like all the like, you're using weights that are too light for you, but they feel heavy, like all this stuff, especially if it was a long layoff, right? Like if it was more than a week or two, like it's going to feel pretty shitty. To be honest. But ultimately, you want to just make sure, first of all, prepare for success as much as possible. You know, the more you can remove those barriers to getting to the gym, the easier it's going to be. And then it's going to take some forcing yourself, I think, when you are kind of coming back from that, or maybe you're just getting started for the first time. But really like breaking down the process of getting to the gym and making sure that you're trying to make that as seamless as possible. So a couple of examples I wrote down that might be packing your stuff the night before, packing it in your work bag, setting your alarm for the time you need to wake up, not getting on the couch after work, and like letting yourself sit there and basically like doing things to kind of make it a non-negotiable thing that you need to do.
Yeah, so I think it's important that what you said was breaking it down and trying to figure out what went wrong or what is the reason you're not going to the gym. So I think that once you're able to kind of pinpoint that, that's when you can be like, okay, well, I am working on house projects when I get home because I have a new house and it's super exciting. And by the time it's 7 or 8 o'clock at night, like I don't have the energy to do it. It's like, okay, so maybe like you said, like let's change after work and go straight to the gym. And then once you get home, you can do house projects for until midnight if you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, you, like you said, you, once you hit the couch, you're like, oof, I don't want to move. So, okay, we gotta make sure that we're going to the gym before that happens. And one of the things I tell my clients too, it's like, all right, so maybe you don't want to go to the gym. You don't, it's hard to get there. So take pre-workout, take a scoop of pre-workout, sip on it. And it's kind of like, well, I've done this, so I might as well go to the gym. Or I even tell them like, go to the gym. And after 10 minutes, you still don't want to be there. And you feel like it's like, for whatever reason, it's shitty. Go home. But like, hey, you went and you got there. And I feel like a lot of the times once you start warming up, you're like, all right, yeah, like might as well do this. I'm here.
Yep.
And it's, I equate this to being an athlete. Like I played softball my entire life and I hated going to practice. But then once I got there, I was like, oh, I forget that I love this. Mm-hmm. But it's like the, like, I got to get my cleats on. I got to pack my bag. I got to get my water. And then I got to drive to practice. And then I'm like, but once I get there, I'm like, oh, okay, no, actually, I could probably stay here for 4 hours because I love this. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of like the getting there is the hard part. And I mean, I'm like that too. I love lifting, but the idea of getting there sometimes is like, I don't know, I dread it. So, I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm not a robot. Like there, I have to fight those internal battles just like my clients. And it's just trying to like overcome those barriers and like having the path of least resistance. So making it as easy and accessible on yourself as possible is going to set you up for success.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one conversation with a client that I had that was like, I was like, why aren't you getting to the gym? And she was basically like, well, I finish my work day and then I take a nap. And I was like, okay, let's flip this around. Because at that point, it's already 5. And, you know, maybe this, I think this person was also struggling with sleep too. So she was like, I take a nap and it ends up being like a 2-hour nap. And then it's like, I have to eat dinner and then I have to feed my daughter. And then it's like 8 p.m. and I have to go to the gym and then I just don't have the energy and I want to go to bed. And I'm like, okay, we need to flip this around because first of all, you're taking 2 hours in the evening to sleep when you are having shitty sleep when you try to go to bed. Don't you think that plays a part of it? But also like, waking up after a 2-hour nap doesn't feel great. Like, I can't imagine trying to go to the gym after that. Like, let's flip it. Like, be like, I'll reward myself by going to bed early if I get this done first, right? And so you can easily flip that around or, you know, just make it a shorter nap if you really, really need it. But, you know, kind of the whole, like, staying on the couch after work, that's a really dangerous and slippery slope because it's like, once you're down, and like watching TV, it's like, oh, one more episode. And then all of a sudden you haven't gone to the gym. It's like path of least resistance. You got to make that happen before you sit down. And, you know, I get it because it's like all I want to do after I work is unwind and like maybe sit on the couch and watch an episode or two of something. But it's like that can easily turn into an hour and a half. And that's happened. I mean, same thing. I'm human too. Like we actually, like that's kind of our, it was our pre-workout routine is I would finish work. Aaron would wake up because he works nights. And then as he would wake up and as I would kind of get ready for the gym, we would eat together and we would eat in front of the TV and we watch like a short episode of something. And then we would go to the gym. But like over time, that time watching TV just got longer and longer and longer. And then we were going to the gym later and later and later. And then we both were just like, we need to stop this because it just gets harder and harder to get up and actually go.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, we do it too. But like you got to, you know, cut it off where you know it's going to start to become a slippery slope. And yeah. Make sure that you can get there because it's ultimately that's, like we said, the hardest part.
I think the best thing to do is to try to make something as part of your routine as possible. So it's something that is just part of your everyday. Like, I mean, for me back in Virginia, I have a dog now, so I can't do this, but I would pack my bag. And once, like I, the end of the workday, I'd eat my pre-workout meal. And on the way home, I'd drink my pre-workout or on the way to the gym, I'd drink my pre-workout. I would change either before I left school or once I got to the gym and I would just train before I even had the chance to go home. So it was just out of the way. And yeah, I had to go a little bit. It took a little bit of time to pack my bag the night before, make sure I had clothes. I started actually throwing extra shoes in my car because I sometimes would forget my sneakers or socks. And I'd have to be very conscious about the meals that I chose and making sure I had enough food and my pre-workout meal. And it took a little bit of extra time, but it made it so I could go to the gym 5 to 6 times a week.
Yeah, foolproof.
Yep.
For sure. I think The last thing is something that was a request from one of my clients, was kind of failing in training when it comes to like literally failing a lift. So literally failing a squat, a bench, a deadlift, in terms of either not hitting the amount of reps that you intended to hit, or like literally having to dump the bar. And so, you know, I think a couple of notes on this really quickly is not every lift is going to increase linearly forever. So it's like, we can't just expect to put 5 pounds on the squat week after week after week after week. Progress slows down over time.
There would be some strong people if that happened.
I was actually explaining this to a client yesterday on a video, and I was like, yeah, we can't, like, eventually, like, progress is going to slow down, like, over time. And I was like, listen, like, if we progress linearly forever, like, we would have some meaty freaking people on this planet, like 500 pounds of pure muscle, which, like, some of the strong men are getting pretty damn close to that, but still, like, we can't progress linearly every single week. So it does slow down kind of in a logarithmic looking curve in terms of your progress. So, you know, it's really fast at first, and that's really exciting and addicting. But then, you know, especially when you're excited about that, it's hard to see that slow down. But, you know, you're not going to see that. And obviously, every day, every week, every month, stress, sleep, everything affects your progress too. So not every session is going to be linearly progressive either, even in your best, you know, newbie gains time. So that's the first thing, is like, you have to expect that things aren't going to just continue going at that same rate. So it will slow down, and eventually it'll get to the point where, you know, your one rep max a year ago, you might be working towards 2.5 pounds of improvement on it. And like,
right.
That's like,
and progressive overload looks very different. It's not just weight on the bar or, yep, you know, how much you're lifting. So definitely go back, if this is brand new to you, go back and listen to the programming and progression episode, which, yeah, is a really, really good one. Is it 17? I think.
Oh my God, I'm getting 16. Lost in the numbers now.
16. So it's a really good episode, and it really breaks down all the different ways that you can progress in a lift that's not just weight.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just to hit the perspective of like, okay, let's say you didn't hit what you wanted to, or you failed a lift, or you failed a one rep max attempt, or something, a heavy single, heavy triple. Ultimately, you know, even though, you know, on paper you should hit that number or whatever, like I said, a lot of things affect your progress. A lot of things affect that day when you were lifting. You know, you might not be able to hit your peak one rep max the same way that you did when you were completely peaked and fresh and recovered, if you had just slept 2 hours the night before and are just like high on pre-workout. So, you know, it's different, right? And so ultimately, keeping the perspective that progressive overload is not rigid. You can progress in a lot of different ways. And there's always going to be, you know, you have to look in hindsight at those factors, right? And so what was going on that week at work? What was going on right before you started getting ready for your session? How did you feel in your warmups? What was tight? What hurt? What didn't hurt? And all of these things play a role in like whether or not you hit those reps, hit that weight, whatever. And I think the person that did request this as well, you know, in my opinion, so let's say it's like progression on, you know, a rep range. So maybe they're trying to hit 4 to 6 reps on a heavy lift, and last week they hit all sets of 4, and the next week they're going for like all sets of 5, and, or maybe all sets of 6, and that's how they want to progress that next week. But maybe they only get 1 set of 6, 1 set of 5, and 2 sets of 4. And they qualify it as a failure. That's not a failure. You still added reps, like, in your total net change from week to week. And the other thing that I always like to point out is, like, not every lift is going to change every week. So you might have a workout with a bench press and then an incline press and then a fly and then a lateral raise and a tricep pushdown and, you know, big push day, right? You might have your bench press, your incline dumbbell, and your fly go up in weight or reps or whatever. But then by the time you get to those accessory movements, you're pretty burnt out because you put out more than you did the last week. So what is progress for those lifts? It might be maintaining what you did the week before. Or it might be just, you know, keeping the exact same reps. And so that is also progress. So just looking at the net change, like lift to lift, as well as like week to week total volume, are ways to quantify progress, even if you feel like you didn't progress on, you know, one exercise or movement. So again, it's about not looking at things in this tight little bubble and kind of expanding your view of what is progress.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a lot I want to add, but I think that the programming and progression episode really covers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And goes more in depth.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think this was a good one.
I love this episode, man. Yeah. We should take breaks more often.
I know, right? Yeah. So I think that was a really, really good one. I think, again, we covered a lot of things, like what to do if you fail on your nutrition, what to do if you fail on training. But I think the overarching theme is, you know, it's not a failure unless you actually quit. That there is always something you can learn from every single experience, and just taking it, moving forward, and just being better equipped to deal with something like that in the future if it happens again.
Yeah, and the best part about this lifestyle is that it's not one size fits all, and it's not one size, you know, fits all situations. You know, we have to be adaptable, we have to be flexible, we have to adjust to every context that we're in to be successful. And that's what's cool about it. So there's really no such thing as like a perfect scenario or a bad scenario. You know, we can always make the best of every situation that we're in. And I think the last thing that I want to add is it's always about how you react to your situations. And I'm a big proponent of this, and just like my life outlook is I don't believe that. I mean, I do believe that there are circumstances that we can't control. Absolutely. Like things happen that we cannot control. Like I don't believe that we have control over the entire universe, but that's like a whole philosophy debate, I guess. But I do believe that we have choice over how we react to every situation, every stressor, everything that kind of comes into our life. We can't control the fact that someone passes away. We can't control the fact that, you know, we get sick. We can't control the fact that we get food poisoning, right? But we can control the fact that we react to it in a certain way. We can choose our path moving forward. So I'm big on that. And I think it's very empowering to know that you can control what you do, even if your situation is not ideal.
Yeah. And again, I feel like we reference so many different episodes in all of our podcasts, but the growth mindset one is a really good one as well. And we go more into your changing your perspective, changing your words, changing how you perceive different situations. So I would highly recommend going back and listening to that one if you haven't already. And if you're watching on the YouTube, you can see that I had one of my cats just join for the end of the episode. I think that was good. I don't think I have anything else to add. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed to our podcast. You can find both of us on Instagram, and you can find me at Christy Lynn Fit, and Marissa is at Marissa Roy Fitness. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you back next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something from it. Please remember that Christina and I are not medical professionals, so if you're going to make any changes to your exercise or nutrition routines, please consult with your doctor or medical team first. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday here at the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast.